Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
When you're operating at an enterprise level, nothing drives success more than effective team communication. Grammarly for Enterprise enables your company to work smarter and faster. Other AI tools can't quantify impact. With Grammarly, you get measurable results and actionable insights, like tracking key metrics that include brand compliance and readability from their effective communication score. Because when you're able to visualize your team's impact and compare performance against industry benchmarks, you can make data-driven decisions that improve critical business outcomes. So whether you need to streamline messaging between technical and marketing initiatives or cut down on emails between external collaborators, you can trust Grammarly to help employees communicate effectively across the board. Start boosting productivity company-wide with Grammarly. Visit grammarly.com/enterprise to learn more. That's grammarly.com/enterprise.
1 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold, 96.5 The Fan, your home for KC Sports. A little update to what we were already discussing. We were going to move on a little bit, but as we pointed out, D. Spagnuolo reportedly is getting an interview with the Jets. Add him to Matt Nagy and Mike Borgonzi, the Chiefs general manager, assistant general manager for the Jets opening. Also, Albert Breer in the last minute or two reporting that the Raiders have also requested an interview with Steve Spagnuolo. So that's two
not black and silver.
Yeah. Two known interview requests for Steve Spagnuolo as well. And we had Spags on the show back in February. And we asked him at that point in time on if he would take another head coaching job.
Well, listen, I'll answer it the same way I have been. It'd be great. We always embrace it. We just got done talking about pride, and guys, I have some pride too. We all do as coaches. So a second chance, yeah, it'd be great. But if not, I always follow up with this. I feel really blessed to have the job I have, work for the head coach we have, the organization I'm involved with. So if it's God's will to have another head job, great. We'll pin our ears back and go. And if not, I'll put every effort into the job that I have right here and enjoy every minute of it.
So that was almost a year ago, admittedly, but that was last February when he was on our show. We asked him if he wanted to be a head coach. And that was what he said at the time. And I would imagine the answer would be very similar now. I think he was asked a few, maybe last week, kind of about it. And at that time he was like, hey, I'm just focused on the game. Because this was at least when the season was over. Yep. In season, he's definitely not going to really talk about it.
He was only a head coach one time. He had three not full seasons. He finished 11-41 as a head coach with a .212 winning percentage. So it went poorly, obviously, in his one stint as an NFL head coach. But this is always the same thing, because like, I'll get a lot of kickback, and so will you sometimes, when we were talking about Eric Bieniemy as it relates to this. And now, yeah, I'm sure, as we'll continue to talk Steve Spagnuolo, if for some reason he ends up becoming a finalist for one of these jobs, where apparently there's already two that are on the interview list, which is the Jets and the Raiders, because presumably Andy will grant those, because he always does. He just told you, hey man, why wouldn't you want, because people have pride. Like, if you're asking yourself, why would Spags want to leave? What is the best situation in football? Because it is. You get to run your own defense. You get to run your own show. You're one of the best defense in the league each of the last 2 years. You're a back-to-back Super Bowl champion. You've won three Super Bowls with this team. You're on top of the world. There's no better coordinator spot for you to be as a defensive coordinator than where you are right now. Pride. He didn't work as a head coach. He thinks he can work as a head coach. And he's got time in this world, if someone gave him another opportunity, to prove that he's worthy of being an NFL head coach. For the same reason that, like, let's say someone offered me a national TV radio show, and I did it for a while, and then it went poorly, and they fired my ass. And then I came back, and then, like, you know, doing great, you're happy in the city you're in, and all these things, and they gave you another chance to go, and you're like, why would you want to do it? You're comfortable, you got a beautiful house, you love the city you're in. Why would you go back to do that thing you failed at? Pride. To prove that I could have done it the first time. Just because it didn't work out didn't mean I wasn't capable of doing the job. So, I don't know, man. It's interesting. There are only probably, dead serious, Gold, 10 people, players and coaches included, 10, 15 people in the entire organization that I think would be a bigger loss than Spags. That includes like Andy Reid and Brett Veach and Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. There are Chris Jones. There are only like 10 people, maybe 10, 15 players, coaches, front office total that I think would be less big or a bigger loss than losing Spags.
Yeah. Look, there's many names that get interviews. I mean, the Raiders will probably interview 10 people. The Jets, I think, have already requested like it seems like 15 interviews.
Their list is long.
It is wild. So you do your due diligence. Never, you know, you never turn down interviews. Why would you? If you're Spags or Matt Nagy or Mike Borgonzi or anything, you see if it's the right fit. You see if you progress and through the process and go from there. My guess is now that the Jets and Raiders have requested Spags, I think we're going to find out. I bet you he ends up with like 4 or 5. Cody, I think he ends up with 4 or 5 interview requests. Now that Jets and Raiders have requests, it would not surprise me all of a sudden if the Saints or something.
Bears and Jags, they already got a former Chiefs cast.
I think they might be out on the game. They might be out on the Chiefs connection. I'm with you on those.
At least not this time. You got to separate it by a little bit more, right? It can't be. Well, in fairness, the Bears, it's been like a couple of coaching iterations now. An interim and Eberflus.
True.
I mean, but only one really. But
you remember though, Ryan Poles is the GM there, and he did not interview Eric Bieniemy when he became the GM. I think it's different though. We don't have to get back into the whole EB stuff, or whatever. I think it's a little bit different, especially just seeing now the last couple of years how that has gone. I mean, he's an assistant at Washington now, for crying out loud. So I think it's a little bit different in how people in the NFL circle view him.
Is there any chance that any of these playoff teams have an opening after the playoffs are done?
Head coach?
Yes. Because I was thinking about the openings. Tampa?
The only one, and it would still be a mistake, even though we just discussed how they're already mediocre, would be if, like, for some, it would just be so against what the Steelers do as an organization, typically. But it would be if the Steelers were like, we'll trade Mike Tomlin to you, and then we have an opening. I'm not saying that's happening, by the way. You're just asking me, like, where can I? That's the only one that I could even think
Sirianni?
Of. No, they're not firing him.
I don't think
so. If they lose to the Packers, maybe in round one.
I don't think they fire him. They had a good year. I mean, had a good year.
Unless McVay retires, or like it's got to be like not just like a normal fight. Does that make like it's got to be like McVay just retires like he was threatening
Nobody's
a couple of years
fired
ago.
Somebody leaves.
Yeah.
Like Todd Bowles is older as well. I think I saw his name potentially popped up in rumors and stuff with
Todd's retirement. Yeah, I told you guys off air. What was it? Yesterday or 2 days ago? I had talked to somebody over the weekend that covers a different team in the league, and we were discussing there's some like thought that Todd Bowles, he's like 61 years old or whatever, that Todd Bowles could maybe just retire. Just retire at the end of the year. That's a rumor, but that he could retire, and then what happens there? And in that scenario, I would think they would just promote Liam Cohen, their OC. But yeah, that's like that might be the surprise. But that's not my knowledge. That is literally based off of one conversation I had with somebody this week, and otherwise I would not even have thought of that.
I hope Spags doesn't leave. Ugh. Also like him as a person, so it's like
he's such
a good dude. He's so like chill and honest, and
he's got all-time, you know, he's gonna be an all-time name we remember in Kansas City history because of what
he's
accomplished.
What's crazy is a coordinator. Yeah. You know, like for someone to like legacy do it. See, now I'm having even more regrets about not getting this bust made.
Oh gosh.
I can't believe it. Now we might not even get a chance to honor him while he's here. Guys, we screwed up.
Don't need that.
We should have had the bust made.
We
could have done this.
Don't need to waste
that. We just needed $10,000.
Yeah. I'm so glad we
could have had the eyes. Oh man, could have the laser eyes. So disappointed. You know, some dreams just don't come true. That's all.
You see this text 913-586-7965 from the 816. Florio now reports Spags takes Raiders head coach job. Andy Reid quits to become offensive coordinator with Raiders. I mean,
he just wanted a new challenge.
Yeah, that's right. Mike Florio will come
up
with anything.
The world would be ending if that actually happened.
Someone says, are we sure Sean McDermott doesn't get fired if they lose to the Broncos? Yes, I am. I am sure. Yeah, Sean McDermott's not getting fired, even if they lose to the Broncos. Come on. It takes more than winning your division for the fifth consecutive year or whatever.
14
games this year. No. And he has an MVP quarterback. No.
He's not getting fired.
No.
I mean, like a 0% chance he's getting fired.
No, not happening.
Again, he'd have to just quit. He'd just have to decide that he doesn't like football
anymore. You're not doing it.
Like, he has a passion for windsurfing. He's decided to leave his professional job.
I would argue this year, now you can say the division stinks. That's fair. But, like, considering they changed their wide receiver room and traded away Diggs and stuff, I would actually give him a little more credit this year for the coaching job he's done, talking about Sean McDermott, than he's done in maybe a year or two ago.
They were supposed to be in a half rebuild, and they won 14 games, won their division again, and came up a game short of the number one seed, even though they took care of business against Kansas City in the regular season. They just lost one too many games. Should we get to a little audio fun bag?
Yeah, let's do it. So we mentioned the Tampa Bay Bucks. You know, I think we talked about the incentives and history for Mike Evans, right? He was in search of that 1,000-yard season again. He also got $3 million. Listen to the play-by-play call. This was Tom Brady on the call with Fox. Kevin Burkhardt.
Mayfield throwing. Evans! He does it! Jerry Rice has company!
That was the play-by-play call. I know it was a little hard to hear there, but basically they could have just taken a knee on Sunday. In fact, they risked potentially that ball somehow getting batted up in the air and returned, and all of a sudden they could have cost him a playoff spot or something crazy. But they took care of their guy. You saw his reaction. You saw the teammate reaction. It
was an awesome reaction.
Todd Bowles had a funny comment yesterday in his press conference. He was asked, like, about, you know, were you worried about how risky? He's like, no, I wasn't. He's like, I do think Mike Evans owes me $1 million, though. And then he walked off the podium.
He got $3 mil. He said he was going to take it to the blackjack table, didn't he?
Yeah.
Did he say he was going to go to the casino?
Yeah, he said he'd go to the casino with his family and celebrate.
$3 mil.
So that was there. And then we'll stay in the NFC. We joked on our Club 965 fan club
we
Friday,
haven't renamed it yet.
Whatever
Let's
we're doing with
there.
Dana Wright last week. And she mentioned a movie that we should watch, or a TV show, I'm sorry, we should watch. And she said it was Landman. And I kept saying Landmine for some reason.
Doesn't matter.
But this is weird stuff like this happens. I had never heard of that show. And then 3 days later, after Dana mentions it, I see that Jerry Jones had a cameo in this show called Landman. All right.
And honestly,
he might need to win an award. He might need to win a primetime Emmy. This was either great acting or this sounded like he was talking about his sons and him. And so he got emotional. Listen to this. This is real. Jerry Jones acting.
I'm not saying I've done anything right, but I made my mind up a long time ago. I was going to work with my kids. They're involved in everything. They're involved in my leasing, oil and gas, real estate. And so when I got the Cowboys, I got it so that we could all work together. I just know it's not going to be this time, but you're going to be sitting here sometime in the future, laying here sometime in the future. And this room's going to be full of your business associates and the people you've worked with all your life. And more than likely, your children and family are going to be there because they're your children and your family. But you could have them there because they're the people you spent your life with, you worked with, you fell down with, you got up with. Not just Thanksgiving, Christmas. That's who you want to be with. So when that time comes like this, it's a celebration of your life. And you're not wishing you'd spend a little more time seeing a few more sons come up. That's the trick. That's the trick. Because that's going to be your glory. But I'm pretty proud of them Cowboys. I'm pretty proud of the stuff we've done in oil and gas. It pales in comparison to how proud I am is to have lived my life working with my kids.
That was Jerry Jones. How about
Jerry?
That? That was great. That was really
you
good
stuff. You
should
see the look in his face.
He got emotional.
So genuine.
You see his eyes are getting watery a little bit.
So that was episode 9, I guess, of Landman. I need to watch the show. Props to him on that. Obviously, there's some low-hanging fruit here. It's like he's been acting as an NFL football operational guy for many years. He's used to acting. He's a showman and all that. But that was real. You could tell, like, the script there, the lines he was reading, those hit home for him. He was talking like he was talking about his own family. I know they. And by the way, the character in the movie, he wasn't playing anybody. He was playing Jerry Jones, but clearly. So props to him on that, man.
Doesn't matter.
Gotta watch that show now.
It's not even easy to finish. You know, like if you had to play Alex Gold in the movie, it's not easy to play.
No.
You still have to do something in front of the camera.
He could play a bunch of movies.
He kind of crushed it.
He could be an old guy in a bunch of shows.
Yeah. The old wise guy, or I don't know, just maybe he'd be a hard ass the next time because he's an NFL owner. Speaking of Cowboys, they did not have a good season, I think, as you're aware.
Right.
It has not stopped Micah Parsons from already feeling very, very good about where he's at.
for the people that kept believing, because we're not done yet. We are not done yet, and I hope that y'all don't think we're done yet. It's going to be an amazing, amazing, amazing thing to see next year when we're holding the trophy. Yes, it's big goals, but I'm telling y'all right now, it's holding the trophy. I'm saying my prayers out loud. I'm saying my goals out loud so y'all can hear them. You know, we're going to be holding a trophy up next year.
No. Okay.
What trophy?
I mean, like, you got
to improve player? Like, I mean, come on, dude. The trophy?
Defensive player of the year.
You got the Cowboys.
You got to be confident and believe, but the season ended like 3 days ago.
Let the playoffs in before you start declaring yourself the champion for next year.
You don't even know who your head coach is next year. You don't know if they're bringing back Mike McCarthy or finding somebody else.
Or if you're going to be on the team next year.
Yeah.
Might be traded.
Yeah, okay. Micah Parsons. Someone said, you don't need to watch Landman. It's terrible, but way to go, Jerry. Someone else says, of course, this is the text line. Landman, it's a great show. You've got to watch it. Back-to-back text.
That's pretty much in a nutshell.
Where did Dana say we can watch it?
Is it Paramount?
I'm going to have to check it
out. Is it on Paramount? Because it's linked with Yellowstone,
yeah,
right?
I think she did say that. I think Dana said
that's
that,
one. I don't have. I don't have Paramount. I've got...
I don't either.
I got, you know, Prime and
you guys
want to
get a show Paramount? We can just share the password?
We can do the free trial. We'll just do the free trial.
Yeah. I don't have a Paramount either.
Nikki Glaser's,
is good on there?
Nikki Glaser's joke during the Golden Globes or whatever was like, and for those of you that are watching on Paramount, you have 6 days left to cancel your free trial.
What's on Paramount?
I don't know. Well, this, obviously. I don't know what else.
Championship football.
I never heard.
Is there soccer on there? There you go.
Looking up the best things on Paramount Plus. I gotta be honest, anytime when you look up like a list,
Yellowstone probably for a lot of people.
Yeah, that's probably it.
I think anything that's on, like any show that's on CBS, you can stream.
There you go.
Like reruns of it on there, or has been like the old NCIS shows.
Probably NCIS shows.
I'm just saying.
But that's another thing for. Well, come on, man. How old do you think I am? NCIS shows. You ever watch those?
My wife and I got
into NCIS before.
NCIS New Orleans, my wife and I got into, and we watched the whole thing.
Dexter's on there because part of Showtime, too. So anything that's on Showtime. Billions.
Never seen that.
Oh, they have it combined with Showtime?
I believe they've combined it. It looks like, from what I can see, a quick little... Paramount Plus Essential or Paramount Plus with Showtime. No, Showtime's extra. It's either $7.99 or you pay $12.99 because you bundle the two together. Again, this goes back to our whole streaming conversation about how expensive stuff is. Someone says Tulsa King's on there.
Never seen it.
Someone says Cody would hate Landman. Alex would like it.
Huh. The hell do you, I mean, look, in fairness, we put out 4 hours worth of content every day.
We have different views, obviously, clearly.
I don't think I don't think we have, like, entirely different television taste all the time.
No. This person knows
maybe
you well
in
enough
some
from
shows.
The show.
I didn't know that I would like hate Landman.
I definitely feel like now that's like multiple people have recommended it, and then I saw the Jerry Jones clip, and I saw the cast who's in it. It seems like a night like I'll probably check out Landman.
Okay,
not Landmine. That's a different show.
I'm watching. I feel like I gotta get Severance starts back up soon, so that's probably on the list. I'm still watching Silo.
Severance. Have I seen that Severance? I don't think I have. What's that one about?
That's the one on Apple TV where he goes in to have he has the procedure done where. You don't know what's going on at work when you're at home, and you don't know what's going on at home when you're at work.
I definitely haven't seen that then.
It's quite critically acclaimed, turns out.
Okay.
And it's a drama, which is more up your alley.
Yeah, exactly.
It's got some like light moments as far as like funny moments, but like it's a drama.
A lot of people saying Tulsa King. A lot of people.
Sylvester Stallone.
That's one I'll probably like too. That might be on the New York Mafia cop, Dwight. Is released from prison after 25 years exiled by his boss to set up shop in Tulsa. Realizes that his mob family may not have his best interest in mind. He slowly builds a crew. Oh, yeah. I'm in. If only I had 2 weeks off of work to watch like I just had. Where was I?
What did you watch?
During the holidays, I should have done that.
There was a lot of football.
There was a ton of football. And this weekend, you guys have heard me talk about it when we mentioned FanDuel. We got 5 straight days coming up of playoff football, whether it's college or NFL. Tomorrow's show, you're out tomorrow, then you're back with us Friday, Cody. But I'm sure tomorrow, Drew and I will talk. There's a college football playoff game tomorrow night.
That's right.
It's a college football playoff game. Sean Barber's going to be in for a couple hours tomorrow with me as well.
We only got 3 college games left.
That's it, man.
And a new podcast coming out today, by the way. 249 miles of college football.
All right.
We're reviewing Kansas football season. They are first up. Oh, yeah.
What up? Give me another tease here. Give me something else for the podcast.
Just previewing next year's season.
We're
talking Ohio State, Texas.
Well, we are going to talk Ohio State, Texas.
I'm in.
Going to talk Notre Dame, Penn State as well. But there are some good things. We're looking back at the preview of Kansas. Some of the things that were important, the keys to the season.
There were no good things.
Revisiting
season
those.
Season ended in a massive failure. I should massive failure.
I should clip this and just pop it in there randomly. Cody Tapp believes that.
Dude, they were supposed to be in the college football playoff. They fell into shambles. They had a chance to salvage some tiny sliver of hope for the season by making a bowl game.
Correct.
And they got run over by a team that they were a 14-point favorite against.
Golden Rob know this well, though, that they're not expected. They haven't been expected to do anything, really, in Kansas football's history that has been of relevance.
I would actually agree with you 3 years ago. They have set a standard of at least being passably decent now. So when they blow the chance of being passably decent, they're allowed to be criticized now. Before, oh my God, Gold, 5 years ago, you'd have signed up for a 5-7 Kansas football team. They can have this cookie so fast. A lot of people suggesting TV shows now, Gold. We're going to get all kinds of options.
We've had some really good drops. The last few months have been dynamite. Between you, Cody, and Bink, you two have been really setting the bar high.
I don't even remember what I was saying that about.
The cookie?
Sometimes, like, you play some of these things, and I'm like, how white are you? I don't even know.
That was a Briscoe when he was talking about green bean casserole being a top-tier
He called it his number one Thanksgiving side dish. Yes. That's nuts. Oh, no, he'll own my banana?
What?
I said all these? That can't be good.
Anyway, we could just do that all day. just go through and play every single drop.
I said all of these?
Mm-hmm. And more.
I don't remember. I remember, like, half of those, I guess, would be the case. I'm not saying it didn't happen. I'm just saying I don't remember like how.
There's one that you said today.
Really?
Did you put it in today? He knows how he likes it. It was a little short.
He knows.
It was.
We did hear from Travis Kelce, though, because Travis Kelce, of course, and his brother, very popular New Heights podcast. And Travis was talking with his brother, and Jason was kind of poking the bear a little bit when they were discussing Week 18, right? Because we know what some of the national narrative was, and clearly in Cincinnati, about, oh, Kansas City was afraid of Cincy. That's why they risked the rest of their starters, even though they literally rested their starters last year in Week 18 as well. But nobody brought it up then. Listen to Jason Kelce ask Travis about that.
The Chiefs also clinched the number one seed in the AFC, resting their starters, or the majority of them, in Week 18. There's some people alleging that it was a purposeful...
I ain't scared of nobody. I wanted them in the playoffs. I want to slay every dragon one by one, like Mortal Kombat. I don't even want this to be like we play the lowest seed. Just give me the best teams. AFC, NFC. Give me all of them, Mortal Kombat style. I'll go through every one of them, giving them my best effort.
You didn't want to see the Bengals in Burrowhead or in Cincinnati.
I'll play them at the Walmart parking lot. Listen, I love competing against the greatest. The Bengals were a fun team to watch there towards the end of the season. It's a shame they didn't make it in the playoffs, because they would have made the playoffs that much crazier and that much more fun.
I mean, Burrow put up over, like, what, like 4,000 something yards? Like, it was something crazy. He had a great year. Chase and T.
That was one of the wackiest years of football I've ever seen from a team that I thought was 10 times better than what their record showed. I know that just playing against them. We didn't throw any game. Guys were out there competing their off, trying to get a win. It wasn't a fun game to be a part of. And I'm just sitting here on the sideline, like, hey, boys, don't let ruin our mojo. It's go time. We got to flip that switch and know we're the biggest, baddest team out there.
And they know how to flip the switch. They've done it time and time again. They all acknowledge they have to flip a switch. They have to take their game to another level. And they have done that time and time again during this run. But yeah, the Chiefs,
we're not afraid of Cincinnati. They're not afraid of any Walmart team. Parking lot.
Yeah. I miss this. He said he called them the greatest. You always want to play the greatest. That's Burrow, true. 1B. You want to play the greatest.
1B. He's not 1B in the league.
Travis Kelce wants
one. Burrow is definitely one of the great quarterbacks in the league. I don't think anybody's ever tried to claim that's not the case.
Travis Kelce wants it to be like college football, where they rank the best teams and put them in, because he would put the Bengals in.
Yeah, you're right. Like college football, where we ignore the win and loss record.
Correct.
And we just put in who the media wants and who random guy like Bob 25326 on Twitter wants to put in. That you're right. That's what we should do, Drew.
Even if you got
8 losses, but we think you're the better team, put them in anyway. That's what we want. Let's just imagine. Do that.
It would set the NFL back so
much. That's what Cincinnati fans want with their change.org petition.
That's so stupid.
Yep.
They should actually get to play one more final game against the 7 seed to prove their rightful place.
They have to play Denver again.
Oh, if only they played each other 2 freaking weeks ago.
And the Bengals won.
Or played 17 total games.
Facts. They did it to themselves with
losing
another
to the
bad
Patriots.
Start to
that
the
was
season.
Honestly,
that was the one.
They are so bad in the first 8 weeks of the season.
To me, though, it's not even the Patriots game as much as it was if they beat the Chargers single-handedly. They're the 6 seed.
Yeah, yeah. Things happen like that, man.
They beat the Ravens one time.
The Chiefs found a way to beat Denver earlier in the year,
yeah,
right? They found a way to beat the Raiders earlier in the year when they could have lost. They found a way to beat Baltimore. Like,
but they only had to find a way to win one of those games.
Just one.
They started 0-3. They started 1-4. Like, right.
The best 9-8 team in NFL history.
That is the difference between the Chiefs and the Bengals, by the way, is that it seemed like every single one of their games was close for a period of time. One team was winning, then the other one was not.
Up next, we will get to what's trending. Don't forget, though, we've made some playoff t-shirts thanks to our friends over at Gates Barbecue. So be on the lookout for those next week. Details to come. And don't forget to get Gates Barbecue for your tailgate or if you're watching at home this weekend. So we'll do a little what's trending. And then Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider, he'll tell us, as he joined us earlier today, who he actually thinks could pull off an upset this weekend.
Work takes up most of your time. That's why you should use Stamps.com to save time with your mailing and shipping and have flexibility to focus on more important things. Stamps.com can handle all your mailing and shipping needs with rates up to 88% off USPS and UPS. Add flexibility to your day with Stamps.com. Go to Stamps.com/program to sign up for a special offer. No contract, cancel anytime. That's Stamps.com/program.
This time of year, a good hoodie is absolutely essential. But these days, it's tough to find one that will last through the season. That's why the American Giant Classic Full Zip Hoodie is made to last a lifetime, so you can count on it to bring you comfort and warmth year after year. Slate Magazine called it the greatest hoodie ever made, and from cotton to zipper, it's made right here in the USA. It's crafted with timeless style, heavyweight fleece, a double-lined hood, and reinforced elbow patches, which means this hoodie can withstand any outing or adventure. It'll be your new favorite hoodie, and you can depend on it for years to come. Plus, buying from American Giant means supporting local communities of farmers, manufacturers, and more. This season, snag the hoodie that will bring you comfort for life, the American Giant Classic Full Zip, and save 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com when you use code CLASSIC24 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code CLASSIC24.
What's trending?
What's Trending is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. A little update to something we brought up earlier. There was a report from Tom Pelissero that said sources are telling him that multiple teams, including the Raiders, had reached out to Bill Belichick and spoken to him about his interest to leave the North Carolina job he just took and come back to the NFL. Also, that Tom Brady himself had a conversation with Bill Belichick. Remember, Brady is a minority owner with the Las Vegas Raiders. But in the last couple of minutes, Diana Rossini just came out with a report that said a source that she spoke with said that Bill Belichick has no plans to return to the NFL. His sole focus is on coaching and recruiting for North Carolina, and he is recruiting today in New Jersey. That definitely sounds like it came from Bill Belichick's agents or something like that.
That's your job as a college coach, is to refute these things immediately. People let some of these rumors fly sometimes to try to convince people not to go to play college football with you. This happens all the time. I actually think some teams are actually calling.
I don't know if I'll believe it until the Raiders, like, until there's no jobs vacant in the NFL. Then I'll believe he's actually coaching 100% at North Carolina next year.
It still doesn't pass the smell test in some ways. It just still seems so weird. Next up on What's Trending, update for the interviews of possible guys in the Kansas City organization. The Titans have also requested an interview with assistant GM Mike Borgonzi of the front office. And Steve Spagnuolo has now had two interviews requested for his services. One with the New York Jets, who've requested half of the NFL, and another one with the Las Vegas Raiders, reportedly. Interesting time to note that Tom Brady has given glowing praise in the past to Steve Spagnuolo, and it's been reported that Tom Brady will have some small say or some small say in the interview process, or advising in the interview process is probably the way I should put it, for whoever will become the next Raiders head coach.
Mark Davis has seen year after year in his own division. He's seen what Spags has done to his team. You know, he's seen it time and time again. Next up on What's Trending College Basketball, the Missouri Tigers got their first SEC conference win since 2023.
They got a win. It's 2025.
They had lost 21 straight. They got an 83-67 win over LSU. K-State did lose last night 79-66 to Oklahoma State, and KU takes on Arizona State tonight.
Next up on Watch Trading, Travis Kelce wins the Walter Payton Man of the Year fan vote. The actual award isn't voted on until the NFL Honors Week, but the week of the Super Bowl. He got $35,000 for his charity as a part of winning that. Golden Knights said it earlier, I'd have been borderline stunned if he didn't win it, knowing that he is popular, his podcast is popular, and he's dating the single most popular pop star on the planet. So Travis Kelce wins the Walter Payton Man of the Year fan vote. $35,000 going to 87 and running.
That is what's trending here on Cody and Gold. You guys know on Wednesdays, we're always joined by our Odyssey NFL insider, Ross Tucker. He is presented by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. And we started our conversation with him, asking him just how the Chiefs handled the Week 18 game, if he thought it made a lot of sense.
Yeah, I mean, I'm surprised it's even a discussion point. I guess the thing that would surprise me the most about it is, you know, the Eagles didn't play any of their starters either, and they won. They won the game, which I think says a lot about the Giants, and obviously the Broncos are a much better team than the Giants. I will say I was not expecting that score.
I was not expecting
to be that bad. I kind of thought Carson Wentz might come out and fling it around and that there was a decent chance it would be a competitive game. I was a little bit taken aback by that.
I feel like once it got to 14-0, they're like, okay, time to shut it down. Let's pack up shop, everybody, because if you watch, and like, again, I'm not critical of this because I don't really care. I don't want you getting hurt. I want the postseason time. Like, if you went back and watched that game in full, Ross, and I wouldn't recommend ruining your week that way. Yeah, I mean, you should look at some of the effort from some of the players, man. I mean, they're not even. There was a pass rush attempt from Charles Minnehue. He might as well have been walking to the quarterback.
Well, so that to me is bizarre. I don't know how you do that. And if that's the case, then I would have put some other guys in there that, you know, I know you only have so many guys on the roster and practice squad, but I don't know. The Eagles had, again, like, I think they only had 32 guys up for the game. You know, I think they had like almost 20 guys inactive for the game, but the guys that were out played their you-know-what's off and they won. I don't really understand that. You know, it doesn't really matter. The Chiefs are super good, and they'll probably win the Super Bowl again. But I wouldn't feel great about. I don't know if it's my depth and or the culture. I don't know. Ultimately, it doesn't matter. And literally, by next week, nobody will ever talk about this ever again or care even a little bit. But I don't know. That would make me feel a little bit weird about the depth of the team and or the culture that I've built.
We'll get to this wild card week in a second, but of course we know the coaching carousel has been moving pretty good already. No surprises to this point, right? In terms of the openings, I think we all expected these to be the jobs that ultimately would open up. What do you think, or which job do you think is the best job right now? If you were the top candidate, which everybody I think believes is Mike Vrabel, if you could pick, where are you going?
Well, a couple things. First of all, I would submit to you that I think Ben Johnson's the best candidate.
Okay.
For a bunch of different reasons. One of which would be, okay, you bring Mike Vrabel in. If the team has success on offense, let's say he goes to New England with Drake May or Chicago with Caleb Williams, and they have a lot of success on the offensive side of the ball, well, the next thing you know, you're going to have your offensive coordinator is going to leave.
Right.
Because he's going to get a head job somewhere. And then you're back to square one, which is kind of like what the Eagles had to deal with a couple of years ago and what a lot of people think the Lions might have to deal with this year. Lions might lose both their coordinators, Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn. Plus, I just think what Ben Johnson's done when you watch the play calling and the game planning, I think it's super, super impressive. Doesn't mean he'll be a great head coach, but you are at least getting that part of it on the offensive side of the ball. I would say, I think the biggest surprise to me is probably some of the guys that were retained, both head coaches and GMs, you know, like the Giants retaining both their guys, or Balky in Jacksonville, Chris Ballard, who you guys know in Indy. Great guy. I like him. I'm just surprised that some of these guys have kept it. The best job, I haven't given that much time thinking about that. I would probably say New England, and I would say New England because I would think that you would get a pretty long leash now, because I don't think Robert Kraft's going to make the same mistake twice and fire a guy after a year. That's a big positive. I think Drake May is very impressive and the real deal. They have by far the most cap space in the NFL, and they had arguably the worst offensive line and worst receiving core in the league. And so, you know, just think about what the upside might be for Drake May if you can just be like average or even close to average at those spots.
Do you think that Ben Johnson is asking too much, though? Because, like, I mean, this is the second year in a row, and then all the rumors are is like, hey, I'm not looking to just, like, have some guy tell me what to do all the time at GM either, where I understand you want some control, but the best-run organizations left in the league have a good balance between the two. Like, you and I both agree, probably, that if there's a player and it's a 50-50 and it's Andy wants him and Brett Veach doesn't, they take the player and Andy gets maybe final say. But I feel like Ben Johnson is asking a lot for a guy who's never head coached before.
I think I feel like he can. You know, I think he makes a lot of money as the Lions OC. He loves it there. And there's no salary cap for coaches. So I think he probably looks at it like why would I leave this incredible situation that I love unless I get exactly what I'm looking for? And I would be surprised if he doesn't get exactly what he's looking for. I would think he will be offered that, and I would think he will take it. Now, maybe not, but someone's going to say, this is the number one guy. We got to do whatever it takes to get him, and they're going to give him whatever he wants. He's done a really good job of being picky the last couple of years to put himself in this position where – you know, I think people know they got to really come strong to get him.
I'm with you. I think this is the year it has to happen, though. Do you think if he were to turn down the jobs again this year, then don't you put yourself in a little bit of danger of just no longer being the sexy name in a year or two? Like, I know he's an offensive mind. This is an offensive league. But look at Cincinnati. A lot of people thought a couple years ago Lou Anarumo was a head coaching candidate, maybe the best defensive coordinator in football, and now he's out of a job.
Definitely there's some level of risk there, without question. I think it depends on how confident you are in yourself. And also, like, I don't know. I think the dynamic has changed a little bit. You know, I know head coach is more money, but sometimes I guess I wonder how much money. I don't know what Ben Johnson is getting as a coordinator for the Lions. But head coach is just very different. You know, you have all this other stuff to deal with. You know, Ben Johnson just gets to coach football. You have to really deal with the media stuff or all the other headaches or issues that go. I'm sure he wants to be one, but he's probably talked to enough guys that have been head coaches. And then, like, ask Chip Kelly if Chip Kelly wants to be a head coach. You know, he left UCLA as the head coach to be Ohio State's coordinator. You know, there's something to be said for some of these guys for just coaching football. And, you know, does he want all of the headache that would go along with being the head coach in Jacksonville with Trent Baalke as your GM? You know, like, I think he's probably okay with that.
Let's talk about the games this weekend of the AFC side. Those are the ones that interest us more here in Kansas City. What do you think is more likely? The Steelers upset Baltimore or Denver find some way to beat the Bills?
I think both are incredibly unlikely.
Yeah.
Like, incredibly. Now, playoffs, things happen. You know, the Ravens look like they might not have Zay Flowers. That's a pretty big loss. You know, that's a pretty significant loss for them. However, the Steelers are one of three teams ever to make the playoffs after losing their last four games. And the Ravens are one of, like, a couple teams to ever go into the playoffs having won their last, whatever it is, four games by double digits. But, like, these are two teams definitively going in a different direction.
Yes.
By the way, I don't think we posted this on social media yet. It would be @RossTuckerPod, and then I'll repost it, @RossTuckerNFL. I think you guys will think this is very interesting. Steve Fezzik, who is my co-host on the Even Money Betting Podcast, he said that the Ravens are by far the best team in the NFL. And, you know, he's a math guy, right? So it's yards per play is typically the statistic that they put the most faith in because, you know, like the Bills or whatever they are, plus 20-something in turnover margin. That's great, but not really a predictive stat for what could happen in any one game, right? Or like the Chiefs, like he, I think his exact quote was, I think that the Ravens are like 1.7 yards per play better than the average team, better than whatever the average is, 1.7, and the second best is 1.1. So the Ravens statistically are far and away the best team when you take a large sample size of every play the entire season. And so I think his exact quote was, the Ravens are a 12-win team that should have won 15. The Chiefs are a 15-win team that should have won 12. Because, again, the mathematicians will tell you about, you know, the variance with one-score games and blah, blah, blah. What I will tell you is I think that it's not as much variance as they think it is. I think the human beings, a.k.a. Andy Reid, and especially Patrick Mahomes, I think, yes, is there some good fortune involved? Is there some variance? Yes. But please don't tell me that, like, every team is 50-50 in a one-score game, because that's a joke, because it's just not the case. We know that that's not the case with Tom Brady or Patrick Mahomes or some of these guys that consistently win the close one-score games.
100% with you. Real quick, before we let you go, Ross, here in Kansas City, everybody's kind of looking at the 4-5 matchup this weekend because that appears to be the most likely opponent, either the Texans or Chargers for the Chiefs next week in the divisional round. I think I hear everybody would rather play the Texans. It's not close.
I can see that. I just did the Texans again on Sunday against the Titans. They only played the starters like a series or two, but they looked pretty good. I mean, it felt like the Texans kind of got back in their rhythm. C.J. Stroud took them right down the field for a touchdown. The defense played well. You know, the Texans are one of two teams with elite, you know, double-digit sack guys on the edge, two of them, with Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter. They've got two elite corners. Like, the Texans have enough guys that they could beat the Chiefs if Stroud is playing well. And the Chargers, I think, just have that confidence and that formula with Harbaugh. And I think Herbert's really starting to heat up right now, and he's using his legs. I mean, the Chiefs will be a significant favorite, really, in both those games. But I do think, you know, I don't think those games are foregone conclusions. I think the Chiefs are going to have to play well to win them.
Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider. Appreciate it, man. Enjoy this weekend. It's no longer Super Wild Card Weekend. It's just Wild Card Weekend, I guess.
Got it. Well, I don't know. I think you guys carry the games. I'll be on the sideline Saturday night, Ravens Steelers.
There you go.
An hour and 15 minutes from my house. And then I'll be in the booth Sunday afternoon, Packers Eagles, an hour and a half from my house.
I mean, they gave you just such terrible games, you know. You're on such bad matchups that you have to work for, man.
You know what? I'm so pumped for both. And to be able to call two NFL playoff games without – getting on a plane or staying in a hotel.
Not bad. Like,
that's hard to pull off.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right, man, enjoy it.
All right, see you guys.
So that was Ross Tucker a little bit earlier today, our Odyssey NFL insider, brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayo. Mayo game day, be delicious. Yeah, he's got a couple good games to call this weekend.
Decent.
Yeah, not bad at all.
I mean, this begins the stretch I'm sure you'll talk about tonight for betting purposes, but also just people's enjoyment. Playoff game, either college football or the NFL, starts tomorrow. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. At least one NFL or college football playoff game will be played every single day starting tomorrow.
It's a super playoff weekend.
Monday. You should find it.
It's a
super
playoff weekend, Cody.
This approved your commitment to the dating life. Schedule date one of those 5 days. You know?
Why?
Just one of those 5 days.
That seems like a terrible idea.
Give up personal gold time. to work on different personal gold stuff, you know?
It's super playoff weekend, man.
Super playoff
weekend. That's what I'm calling it now. It's not super wild card weekend. They don't do that. It's super playoff weekend.
It honestly gives me a little joy that they got rid of it. Because you know that my stance from the beginning was, this is stupid. And I don't like the branding. And you can't just call it super wild card weekend. And now to find out that they've quiet quit it, they've just silently gotten rid of the word super in front of it. It is kind of like, this is why the college football playoff addition to it makes it so much fun, is that now we're going to, every year, like we always talk about, you and I, getting time like March Madness comes up or some of these other ones, one of the biggest sports weekends of the year. Because of the college football playoff now, this didn't used to, wild card weekend for the NFL was a big sports weekend. This now, as it relates to the college football playoff too, this is now going to be one of the three biggest sports weekends every year. This is a marquee sports weekend now every year. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, every single year, we're going to get college football playoff games, NFL playoff games, all these things all stacked together, all beautifully aligned, and just playoff game after playoff game after playoff game. It's going to be as big as March Madness, most likely, just because how many of them you'll get.
It's a great weekend. Yeah, so we'll talk about it a little bit tomorrow on the show. Tomorrow, Dane and Hughes will join us. Mike Palm from Circa. Sean Barber's going to guest fill in for a couple hours tomorrow on the show. You'll be back Friday, so we'll have plenty of stuff. We'll talk more about these games. But tomorrow, Drew and I and Sean Barber will be hosting the show a little bit. And then, as you said tonight, that betting show, just betting specific, we'll go through each and every game tonight starting at 6 o'clock here on 96.5 The Fan. And we'll kind of break some of those down, some of our bets for the weekend. I haven't been on for a couple of the holidays. Haven't had that betting show for the last couple of weeks.
But I've had bad energy towards, like, there's no reason, like, the Ravens should be a 20-point favorite against somebody. And I didn't bet it, but, like, oof. And the Chiefs didn't feel like they should be 10.5 point dogs.
And then,
so, like, now I'm looking at the Ravens line this week, and I'm like, I don't think they should be, like, a 9-point favorite against the Steelers. And I'm like, okay, that's a good time for me to bet the Ravens.
I will say, though, Mike Tomlin as an underdog hits at 70-plus percent of the time. It's insane. And last week they had no business covering. And they still found a way to cover. So we'll do that tonight. I'll talk to you guys tonight at 6. Cody's back with us on Friday. Hope you guys have a good rest of the day. The Drive with C.Dot and Rob coming up next.